What's up, everyone? And thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Matt Biamonte podcast. And today's podcast is going to be about remembering Kobe Bryant. And it's been several days now since the tragic helicopter crash that killed Kobe, his daughter, and seven others. And it's been one of the weirdest weeks of my life. When I initially heard it, I was just numb. I was at church when it happened, and I got a text from a good friend, and he linked a TMZ article to me, and so I read that, and kind of right off the bat, I felt like, yeah, there's a good chance that this is probably true. And then you started to hear more reports, Rick Fox maybe in it, his family's entire, I mean, it was crazy, all the things that were going on. And then finally, there were some NBA people who confirmed the news. And then once you found out that his daughter Gigi was in the plane and the helicopter, and then that they were actually heading to a basketball game, hard to put into words. For those of you who know me, I've been a Lakers fan my entire life, and I've had a Kobe Bryant jersey for almost his entire playing career. I wore it in elementary school. You know, at one point I can remember wearing a Kobe jersey to school, and teachers and parents were joking with me that the Jazz were better and that they were going to beat them. And man, just so many great memories and moments. I think the part that really sinks in is just how much time I spent with my family and friends watching him play. I mean, so many memories that I have with my family and friends were with Kobe Bryant. And I think the culmination of the whole thing, and just to kind of lay out the podcast for you, I want to share an experience I had meeting Kobe Bryant. It was one of those memories I'll cherish forever. And so I'll recount that memory in detail to you guys. Didn't want to bring on my friend Kyle Bruder. He comes on the podcast quite a bit. We talk Lakers. We've been Laker fans forever. Kyle was a Kobe fan before becoming a Lakers fan. I think Kobe kind of got him into basketball, and Kyle has spent countless hours emulating Kobe Bryant moves, and just a massive fan. So he was one of the first people I thought of when this all went down. And so we're going to talk about that and share our thoughts and some memories. But I want to start by telling you a story, my one and only story of meeting Kobe Bryant. But a couple of years ago, I was an NBA broadcast assistant for the Utah Jazz, and that required me to work with a lot of visiting teams. I think that I worked with every NBA broadcasting crew that's not national throughout my time with the Jazz. And the last year that Kobe Bryant was playing, he came to town in late January. And afterwards, he was doing a media availability like most big players do at the end of a game. And I was able to ask him a question, and that was great. And then afterwards, you know, we were like, man, do we try and get a picture with him? This is me and a couple other broadcast assistants. And I wasn't sure if that's something I wanted to do. And then another person grabbed a picture with him, and I was like, ah, dang it, I got to grab a picture with him. So the next time around, I was kind of formulating, how can I make this happen? It's going to be his last time playing in Utah. And the game comes. It's a media circus. He does this interview at the beginning of the game, and he's kind of reminiscing about all the good times he had in Utah. After the game, he has his press conference, and there were so many media members there. It was crazy, and the Lakers anticipated this, and they sent a bunch of Lakers PR staff people there to help him navigate how this goes. And if you've never been to Vivint Smart Home Arena, the fans who sit really low, they get in and out of the game through the same tunnel that the visiting players, where their locker room is. And so there was a pocket of Laker fans kind of hanging out around the tunnel waiting for Kobe. And Kobe finishes his media availability, and a Lakers PR staff person says to him, all right, let's go follow me to the bus. And he brushes this person off, which I thought was really cool, heads over to the fans, starts signing things, taking pictures, talking with the fans. I was able to jump on in there with them. I got a picture with him. And what's so unique about the picture, I put this on my Twitter page if you want to see it. It's at Biamonte Matz. He puts his arm around me. And that wasn't a detail I remembered when it happened. But looking back on it, it speaks volumes to who Kobe Bryant became at the end of his career. I think that he was well aware of the impact that he had as a basketball player. And that little gesture, it meant a lot to me because he could have just leaned in, taken a picture, and I still would have a great memory. But he went, in my opinion, above and beyond to connect with those fans, including myself, at the end of that game. And I had a brief conversation with him. I just told him how much he meant to me and my family, and thank you for all the good times. And he was appreciative of that. And it was a great moment because I know that there's a lot of fans out there who don't get to meet their idols, their, you know, the people that they really root for. And my experience with mine was better than it ever could have been. He could have easily left the arena. He could have said, I don't have time for this. I got to get home. That wasn't the case. And that left a profound impact on me. And that's something that I want to try and pay forward in his memory. Is when people want to talk to me, well, you know, every once in a while I get an email or a LinkedIn message from someone trying to break into the sports broadcasting world. I need to give them the time that Kobe gave to me that one night in Utah and try and pay it forward. So really hard stuff. It's been emotional. I think about it every day, and I'm sure that I will for a long, long, long time. And just a horrible tragedy. Cannot believe it still to this day. And with that being said, it's time to bring in my good friend, Kyle Bruder, to discuss and remember the life of Kobe Bryant.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing, hey, man?
I am okay. Good. I'm okay, yeah. But I'm the last few days have been hard.
You know what's interesting for me? Everyone goes through grief differently, and this is kind of a unique case for you and I, but also for a lot of sports fans, because I think this has affected fans who hated him while he played. Yeah. I think it also affected fans who really didn't care, which is also kind of interesting to think about, that people who didn't have strong feelings like you and I did, or even Jazz fans or Celtic fans who hated him, it's affected a wide range of people. But for me, I think I was in such shock on Sunday that I couldn't really process it. Yeah. And then as the days have went by, it's become a little harder. It's been harder to like focus at work, and you just find yourself every morning since that's the first thing I've thought about. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've thought about this, and I guess I'll start with this question. Have you taken the time to think about why it's lingered so long and why you spent so much time thinking about it?
Oh yeah, in the amount of time that I've been thinking about it, I've thought about that too. I think the reason why it's impacted me so much is because, and you know, just to reiterate what you said at the beginning, like I want to make this clear to people that, you know, this has affected millions of people. Like some people may look at it and think it's silly that it's just, oh, this is like when, you know, just you're running. I don't want to say run of the mill celebrity, because, you know, human life is valuable in general. And, you know, I think I appreciate that people are saying, you know, they, you know, feel sorry for, you know, the other people that, you know, passed away in the crash and everything too. But to get back to your question, Kobe Bryant, so many things about my life would be different if Kobe had not existed.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why it is such a deep, like, rooted pain for me. Like, And you know, something that I asked you earlier today if we could do this tomorrow, and you wanted to get the podcast done, which is totally understandable. But I wanted to make sure I was on this because I wanted to, I wanted. I wanted to let you know how much I, appreciate and value you because, you and I probably wouldn't be friends today without Kobe.
I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking about that and I'm like, some of it is the Laker brand, the purple and gold, that bond of being Laker fans. But when we first talked, I mean, you were wearing a Kobe jersey and that's all I owned at the time were Kobe jerseys. So like, I think that my love for the Lakers, I think it does transcend just Kobe Bryant. But if you had to put your fandom and passion about the Lakers into a pie chart, Kobe makes up easily more than 50% of that
Oh,
love and
totally.
passion.
I think for me it was, I was just straight up a Kobe fan before I ever became a Laker fan. And I think that, it's different for you and I because, your dad grew up a Laker fan and that just kind of, spilled over, into your upbringing, which is awesome. But, I just kind of by chance, decided, I started liking basketball and it was all, it's weird. It was all circumstantial, but I started watching Kobe Bryant and I started seeing, stuff on the news about this super young kid. And I thought it was so crazy how, a kid that was only 17 years old was going to play in the NBA with, Michael Jordan and Karl Malone and John Stockton. And, I was so captivated by that even at a super young age. And it was just, I was a Kobe fan for, a number of years. And I don't think like the Laker fandom kind of came with it over time. Like it happened to be the Lakers that, I honestly like Kobe could have played for another team and I might be a fan of that team today. That's just
Right.
how it was when I was young. And I'm
Yep.
grateful, I became a Laker fan, like even with Kobe not playing, like I'm still a diehard Laker fan. And I think the pie chart for me was 100% Kobe. And then it just kind of, there was room for, a sliver of other, Laker related things that I fell in love with over time. But, if it wasn't for Kobe, it was like you and I wouldn't have even really crossed paths. Like
Yeah.
it's crazy to think about, but like we wouldn't have. Yeah, we had a couple of classes together in junior high, but you and I grew up in very different parts of Pleasant Grove. We had completely different groups of friends.
Yep.
That was the one singular thing that brought you and I together. And like it sounds all sappy and stuff, but I think that given something like this, like I've been watching constantly interviews of people that were close to him, watching
Yep.
Shaq and watching Tracy McGrady and watching other people like that, and just how much it's just it's crazy because it felt so unreal. It was like he had so much more to do in life. It was almost like he was hitting his prime in life after basketball. And then
Yeah.
suddenly he's
Yeah.
gone. So yeah, anyway, that was kind of a long, not a tangent, but just a long answer to your question.
And for me too, my mom said this on Facebook and I agree with her, and this is maybe where we differ a little bit, but Kobe Bryant was, this is going to sound a little ridiculous, but was like almost another member of my family.
Oh,
Like
yeah, totally.
we're all Laker fans. We spent hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours together as a family watching Kobe Bryant. I mean, you remember, Kyle, after we got home from our LDS missions and the Lakers won the championship, their
Yeah.
last championship with Kobe and Gasol, how many games did we watch together with my dad? I
All of
mean,
them.
yeah, all you're right, all of them. And so he is interwoven in my family.
Yeah.
It's like there are memories that I'll forever have with my parents and sisters and you,
Yeah.
where it was, what was the central event? Kobe Bryant and the Los
Yep.
Angeles Lakers. And it's really hard to imagine. I mean, the basketball part is over that was never coming back. So it wasn't like there were going to be more moments. But I think the thing that's difficult to wrap my mind around now is, and this is the next thing we should talk about. You mentioned watching tons of interviews. Anytime Kobe Bryant spoke, whether it's at Alabama football, whether it's on the Ellen show, I tuned in because I felt like he had become, like, honestly, a role model. I think that the things
Yeah,
that he would
absolutely.
say in these interviews, I mean, to use an example to prove the point I'm trying to make, not so long ago, he has an interview, which I'm sure anyone who's listening to this saw, of why he is taking a helicopter. And it was, to paraphrase
Yeah.
Kobe, it was to buy more time with his family. And it's like, wow, you know, how profound is that, that he was trying to maximize every second of his life to the best of its ability. That's something we can all appreciate and all look inside ourselves and say, am I using time the best that I can? Am I avoiding time with family for selfish reasons, or am I finding a way to make good use of my time and show that I appreciate my loved ones? And so that's what I think for me has really been the most difficult part, is not so much the on-court stuff, but the off-court kind of words of wisdom, because I looked up to him. And that's just like, man, think about how many other interviews or wise words he was going to say in the future that we could apply to our lives to
Yeah.
become better people.
Yeah. And just, to, I guess, tie a bow on what you just said about that interview, I think the most, I mean, the whole thing is, it was profound about, the helicopter thing and spending time with family. But, the thing that he said that stood out the most to me was that, Vanessa was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll pick up the girls from school, or I'll do this, or I'll do this. And Kobe was like, no, I
Yep.
want to do that. It wasn't, because any other person could have been like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to worry about picking the kids up, or I don't have to worry about doing this because, my wife's got it. But he was like, no, like that, that time is extremely precious. Like, I want to be able to do that. And so that was a means of not just, okay, I guess, this will make it easier for me to fit this into my busy schedule. It's no, I want to make this a priority, so that, I can spend time with them, because I know that, my job and everything else has, some very high demands, but I'm going to make it so that I can, spend time with my kids. And when I found out that, well, first, I want to hear, like, what you were doing when you first heard the news. Like, what happened? Who'd you hear it from? Like, how did it? Like, I mean, I've heard this from so many different people. It's just, I want to know what went through your mind when you first heard it. I imagine there was, denial and stuff, but like, what, when the moment, like, how did you first see it? Was it Twitter? Did someone tell you? Like, what
It
happened?
was Mike, our friend Mike Bearclough. I was in a sacrament meeting with my wife and just got a text that he was like, tell me this is a joke. And I was like, what are you talking about, dude? And he sent me the link to the TMZ article. And honestly, all day long, from that point on, I think that I just checked out. I wasn't like immediately overcome with tears. I think I just mentally checked out. Like, to use an example for you movie fans, it was like I was in the movie Click, where he like fast forwards through certain parts of his life and he's just going through the motions. I was like numb. Like, I don't know. I was refreshing Twitter every second. I was watching SportsCenter all day and I was just like kind of, I don't know, numb, I guess. I just didn't make sense. I didn't really know how to process it at that time. And I guess since then, I've kind of been through the whole gamut of emotions, tears and denial and all that stuff. But initially, I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is crazy, you know? And then more details
Yeah.
come out and you're just horrified at the details. And you know what's really hurt me the most? And then I want to hear from you on all this stuff too, Kyle. But I think what
Yeah.
really tugged at my heartstrings is we're talking about a person who by no means was a perfect person, made not just made mistakes, but made big mistakes in his life.
Big ones.
But we have every reason to believe that he remedied those mistakes and truly epitomized a human being who, day after day, week after week, month after month, was trying to be a better person. I mean, the night before, he takes his 3-year-old Bianca to the mall and is spending time with her. The morning before, he goes to church. And now, this is still kind of up in the air, so I don't know if this is if there's visual representation, but would go to church each and every week, was a devout Catholic who, valued the principles of Christianity. That's something I can relate with. And then the next thing he does is charter a helicopter with his kid and his kid's, teammates to get them to a basketball game. It's like this dude just like you look at this guy and you're like, dang it. This guy had life figured out. Like he was doing the right things, giving back to the community. There's the video that surfaces a couple weeks ago of him,
The
helping
car accident.
strangers at the car accident. It's like that's what hurts so much is we're talking about a dude who had overcome mistakes and was, a better person today than he was 5, 10, 15 years ago. And isn't that what we're all trying to do? We're all trying to be the best people we can be, whether you're religious or not. I think there's a natural humanistic desire to be the best person you can be at work, amongst your friends, with your loved ones. Like this dude was doing that. And there's so many famous people, Kyle, who don't do that. And there's famous people who have passed away tragically, and you don't have the same response because you look at them and you're like, that's sad, but don't do drugs. There's a lesson. There's a lesson to not do cocaine, or someone passes away, and you're like, I don't want to use any examples here, but you look at them and you're like, that is tragic, but like, I don't know if you were a great person. But you look at Kobe Bryant, you're like, the dude that you were on Sunday morning before you passed away, you, Kobe Bryant, were a model citizen, someone that we would aspire to be. And that's what just hurts so profoundly for me is like, I want to be like this dude. I want to be as good of a father as this guy. I want to, put in the effort with my wife that he did. Was he always faithful to Vanessa? No. Did he have issues? Yes. But like that guy put in a lot of work the last 10 years of his life to make his family life as good as it can be. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we're all trying to do? Be better. And this guy was doing it. And it's like, ah. Could we have taken someone else away that was a bad person?
Yeah, that's trust me, that crossed my mind too.
There's
Oh
plenty
man.
of famous people out there, dude, who, don't give back as much as he have, or maybe neglecting their family. And not that anyone deserves to die, I'm not trying to say that, but it's like this
Sure.
dude was doing all the things that I think most of humanity want to do: be great at their family, serve those around them. I mean, have you heard the interview of I need to look up the names of the people because I feel like that's only fair to call them by name. But there was an interview of one of the husbands. I'm looking it up right now. It's really a good watch. I'm almost there. Sorry for stalling. I should have
No,
had
you're
this
okay.
up, but
It's all good.
it was the assistant coach that he hired, and that would be Christina Mauser. Her husband has done some interviews, and Kobe hand selected her, one because she was great, but it was like he got to know the husband first, Matt Mauser, and like employed him to write music for his podcast, employed his wife to be a basketball coach. Like he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? He didn't have to employ an assistant coach for his daughter's basketball team.
No, not for a 13-year-old basketball team. Like, people do
He
that
didn't
stuff for
have to
free.
even fly these dudes. He could have said, "We'll see you there." Like this dude, I feel like was charitable. I mean, how many appearances did he make on Ellen or other things where he was helping people? I mean, this was a freaking good person, man. This wasn't just your average celebrity. That's what hurts for me, is like, Not that, I don't know, I'm talking in circles now, but it was just like, gosh dang it, like I want to be like this guy.
Yeah. For me, I first heard it. I got a text message from my friend Dave, who's also a
From
big
who?
Laker fan.
Oh,
From David,
yep.
from Dave, Devaney. I got a text from him, and I think I saw some, I don't know if I was on Twitter at the time or what, but it was kind of simultaneous where I saw something, and then, no, I think it, no, okay, my sister Jenny actually, she sent me a message on Facebook, and David texted me at the same time, and Jenny said, "Did you hear about Kobe?" And my first thought was something, I thought she was just going to be like, "Oh, LeBron James passed Kobe on, the all-time scoring list or something." Like, I just, that's what I thought. And then David was like, "Dude, Kobe just died in a plane crash." And I was like, "What?" And so immediately I start looking at, at Twitter, and I start looking at, different tweets from different people and stuff, and I didn't see any like real legit credible sources. And then I saw TMZ, and I just was like, and my heart just like fell out of my
Yep.
chest. I was like, please tell me that this is that it's wrong. Like I didn't believe it. I really thought that it was
You
fake.
know,
I thought that somehow.
no, I was
Sorry,
just
go ahead.
gonna, I'll be quick here, but I was just gonna say TMZ gets a bad rap, but when I read the TMZ article, I felt like it was real. Like, more times
Yeah.
than not, TMZ is right.
Extremely rare they get it wrong. Yeah. And I was so like, it was just like, what? It was just kind of, it was like time stopped, and I didn't believe it. And I went out of my room. I went and I turned on the TV, and instantly, like, I think I went to like NBA TV or something like that. And instead of playing the Houston Rockets and whatever game, they were talking about Kobe and then that this had happened. And I was just like, I was still in denial for a long time. I didn't know how to process it. And so I ended up walking out of the apartment, and I went and I sat in my car. And I just sat there like in silence for probably like an hour. Like I kept looking through Twitter trying to find if it was fake. And then I started seeing reports of, it was him and, five other people. And then I started seeing like there were a few tweets here and there that had inaccurate
Yep.
information. There was one saying Rick Fox was there, and then there was another one saying, oh, Kobe and all four of his daughters were there, but Vanessa wasn't. And I was just like, please tell me that his kids were not on the helicopter. Like I just started just kind of going into this panic because I just started thinking about, his family and his girls and stuff. And even then, like I still didn't feel like Kobe had died. It was just like he can't die. Like I think the reason why it's so hard to believe is like, and it sounds silly to say, but Kobe is worshipped by people.
Yeah.
Like I don't want this to sound like some weird like idolatry thing, but it kind of is. Like people don't just, look at him as an icon. It's like they like you go to Los Angeles, and it's just Kobe is the man. Like Los Angeles says they're happy that LeBron James is there, but it still will always be Kobe's town. And then I started seeing just more and more reports, and then I didn't know what was true, what was not,
Yep.
and as I was watching NBA TV, they finally were like, we were withholding some information from you, and now we've been cleared to say it. And then they confirmed that Gigi had died too. And I just, like, at that point, I think I was waiting to feel like tears. Like I was waiting for that emotion to come. And the moment they said that, I just kind of lost it. Like I just started crying, and like, yeah, just it was so incredibly hard. And before I forget, something that I wanted to bring up about, just this whole thing is, you were talking about Kobe, and he made some mistakes in his life, as a lot of people do, and he made some very big mistakes. It's not to, cast a, it's not to just turn a blind eye to it. He definitely messed up, and he owned up to those mistakes. But, you and I used to have conversations about something that, I thought was kind of profound, and I think over time I've believed it less and less, and I think that you have too. And this kind of solidified this for me is, what is one of the best indicators of future behavior? And it's past behavior. And I think that in a lot of cases that's totally true, but the fact that he lived a certain way and did certain things, it's nothing like who he was, at the time of his death. He was completely different. Like you said, he was a model citizen, was doing everything right, was a really good dad. He was totally thrilled of the idea of, having just girls, didn't need any boys. Like, I don't know. Like, I it really it's really sad that it takes an event like this to happen to bring so many people together in one common purpose. Like, it feels like, politics are kind of in everything. This is like one event that I can think of. It's like the only event I can think of in recent memory where just politics are not involved, and it's just people kind of coming together and, feeling the same thing and feeling that pain and feeling confused and hurt and people questioning, like, why could something like this happen? Like, you just, I don't know, man. There's so many emotions. There have been just random moments where I've started just kind of tearing up and crying. If I hear, seeing the interview of Shaq was really hard. Seeing Tracy McGrady, seeing even players that, people that hated Kobe, like li listening to Paul Pierce talk about him, listening to Doc Rivers talk about him, like it's maybe they didn't hate him per se, but they respected him, and the impact that he has, just it's forever. And I don't know, I don't know what else to say. It's just crazy.
I think to kind of not, I'm not ready to put a bow on this yet, but I do want to, before the conversation's over, I do want to wrap back around to, like one of our favorite on-court memories. But before we get to that, I think I already talked about this earlier in the podcast, but I want to bring it up to you. Obviously, we loved Kobe Bryant growing up. And when I became an NBA broadcast assistant, I kind of, the first couple years I did it, Kobe was hurt. So he wasn't around. And so his final season, I kind of like, okay, by the time they played Utah, we knew that it was his last two games. And so I was kind of like, man, what's going to happen? Am I going to get to talk to him? Can I get something autographed? Can I get a picture? And after the first game in January, I was like, no, I really shouldn't do it. And I was hanging out with another broadcast assistant named Melanie. And like, he was walking past us and he was like, Kobe, can I get a picture quick? And he did it. And I was like, ah, man, I can't believe I missed that opportunity. And so the next time around, there was more media, there's more Lakers public relation people there, and I'm like, I just don't know if this is going to happen, and I don't, I mean, Kobe was our, have you met any other people you admire, Kyle?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, how much of that did you miss?
No, I got it. I got it. My old AirPods decided to crap out on me, and then I could hear you, but I guess some. Anyways, moving on.
Anyway, okay, so
So.
the point I was at was there was every reason for him. It's his last game. The media's swarming him. The Lakers PR staff. At one point, I even remember seeing one of them say, "Kobe, follow me to the bus," and he kind of brushed her off, waved her off, and there was a pocket of Laker fans who, I don't know if you've ever been super low at a Jazz game, but if you're really low, you can actually exit through the same tunnel that the players go through.
Right.
And so there were a pocket of them there waiting, and he went up and talked to all of them. And at that point, I'm like, forget it. I got to get in here. So I jumped in with the fans and
Yeah.
waited my time. He signed everything. I mean, there wasn't, I'm not talking hundreds of people here, but I'd say a good 20 to 25 people signed what they had, talked with them, took pictures, and I took a picture with him. And you've probably seen the picture a million times, but
Course.
I don't know if you've ever noticed this one detail in my picture. He has his arm around me. And
Yeah.
I've taken pictures with plenty of athletes, and a lot of time they just lean in, maybe do a peace sign,
Yeah.
put his arm around me. We took the picture. Afterwards, I was like, hey man, like I've been watching you my whole life. Like, just thank you for all the amazing times. And he was like, your support, like, it far exceeded what I ever anticipated that
Yeah.
meeting being like.
Yeah.
And I had met dozens of other NBA all-stars, and no encounter was like that one with Kobe. And I just remember being like, this is so amazing that this dude recognizes what he's meant to the game, what he's meant to the fans, and then he puts in that time. And I think he's been doing it ever since, that he is just so thoughtful in every interaction he has that us, the public, we see. I mean, can you remember a time in the last 5 or 10 years where here's a video of Kobe being a jerk? Like, no,
No.
you can't. And like, for me to have that experience with him, and I wish he could have been there. I know that you would have valued it just as much as I did, but
Of course.
I was like, wow, do I have idolized this guy my entire life? And then to have this interaction that could far exceed anything I ever imagined, I just think that speaks volumes to his awareness of who he was and what he meant to people. And he understood that, and so many people don't. And as Laker fans, boy, are we blessed to have two superstar players who recognize how important it is to give back. Magic Johnson, who I think is the same way, and Kobe Bryant. Like,
Yeah.
there's not many fan bases in sports who have been blessed to have superstar players who value fans and what they mean to them. And I don't think I'll ever become a famous person. I don't know if I really want to. I don't really care to. But if I were ever in that type of position, I want to try and remember, hey, you know, and even if I'm not, sometimes people reach out to me on LinkedIn and like, hey, I just graduated. And sometimes I look at those messages and I'm like, come on, dude. I haven't made it. Like, I can't give you any advice. And then I try and remember, hey, you know what? We need to treat everyone with time and attention like Kobe did for me that one day. And I'm sure he wasn't like that with
Yeah.
everyone, but that's the interaction I had, and it left a lasting impact.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, and he may not even re like, I guess he's one of the few people that I think would recognize like the potential impact that he can have and has, you know, had on so many people. But I think just simple interactions, I'm sure that you and anybody else can think of just an interaction you've had with a stranger or someone that you know don't know extremely well, and they made an impact on you because of something they said, or even you know if someone you know complimented you on something that you were unexpected that was unexpected, you I don't know, things, even little things, I think can go a long way. And so I don't know, I just want to be more conscious of you know my surroundings and trying to, you know, like we should all strive to, you know, be better people, you know, whether or not this Kobe thing happened. But, you know, I just feel extra, I feel extra grateful for the people that I care about in my life. And I want to, you know, always, you know, tell them how much I care about them and how much I love them. And, you know, even to strangers, just, you know, leave a good impression on people. and just, I don't know, like I just feel extra motivated to work harder, to be better, to be more kind. It makes me want to be, hopefully that day comes when I'm a dad. It makes me, I'm not a dad. I'm dating someone that has a daughter that, I feel really close to, and I want to even treat her better. Like, I don't know, it's amazing. I have so many emotions. It's amazing how many people have been deeply affected by this and feel just like you and I do.
Right. And that's what makes this so interesting is like, look, we grew up with this guy. Like literally, like this dude has been a part of our lives from when we were kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember getting made fun of at elementary school for wearing Kobe
Me
Bryant
too.
jerseys.
Yep.
But there are people who don't have that kind of deep-rooted
No.
fandom that we did and still are shaken up by this. And I think at the end of the day, it comes back to what I said earlier, which is Kobe Bryant, and I've heard this a lot, and I agree with it. People didn't like him when he played. They became huge fans of him after he stopped playing.
Yep.
That just speaks volumes
Yep.
to the person he became throughout the course of his career and then what he did after his career. Because
Yeah, and I
there's
had.
not a lot of like, I wasn't a Michael Jordan fan when he played, and guess what? I'm still not.
I'm not really either.
He's done
Yeah.
nothing post-career to make me feel like, wow, this Michael Jordan dude is like the man, I've never felt that.
Yeah.
How many athletes have there been that have generated that kind of reaction from people? Not many.
I don't know if there ever has been one.
I don't, you're right. I
I
mean,
don't
no one comes
know.
to mind. Who are
It's here. It really feels like there is a global cloud. Like there is just a sadness and darkness. It's like a rain cloud that is just across the entire world because that's how far his reach went. Millions of Americans, millions of people in Asia. He was so beloved in Asia. Like same kind of thing. But and I'm sure that like I an experience something I've been experiencing every day, a couple times a day at least, is I have people that I haven't spoken to in ages reach out to me asking me if I'm doing okay because they know how important, like how much I loved Kobe and how much I, it's crazy. Like people tell me like, oh, man, the first person I thought of was you
Yeah,
when this
same.
happened. And I'm sure you've had people tell you the same thing because people know how much he impacted your life and how much he impacted my life. People are like telling me they're, sorry for my loss. And like it's interesting because it's like, yeah, I never met the guy. And even, your meeting with him, like
It was a minute.
it was extremely brief. Like you guys weren't, didn't have any kind of relationship or anything other than, just how you said, he felt like a family member because he was a part of our home, a part of our lifestyle, a part of just, all of that. And people are like, I'm so sorry for your loss. You must be feeling terrible. And, even my girlfriend's mom came up and hugged me, and I didn't even think she liked me.
Right.
And, she gave me a hug and asked me how I was doing. And that really,
Meant a lot.
yeah, it did. It did. I told her that too. I was like, that was completely unexpected, but it meant a lot to me. So it's nice to see that, people are understanding of how impactful this is for me. Because people could easily be like, dude, it's a sports guy. Like,
Yep.
get over it. You don't even know him. But this is different. It really feels different. And I have a freaking Kobe tattoo on my arm. I have a Mamba mentality tattoo on my arm. Do I have the Mamba mentality? Of course not. But it's a pleasant reminder that you always want to try and learn as much as you possibly can. That's what it was about. A lot of people think that it was just always just the most motivated, hardworking person in the world. Something that I thought was really interesting. Oh, did you hear the interview with Gary Vee?
No, I need to though.
So Gary Vee was like, as far as, physically, he's like, there's nothing special about Kobe at all. He said there was nothing special about him. But
what made him special is his curiosity. He was constantly trying to learn. He was constantly calling people from any walk of life, anyone who had any kind of success. He wanted to figure things out. And I think we live in a world today where we have so many resources to figure stuff out that there's just not really any excuse to just sit idly and wait for somebody to figure it out for you. Like, ask. Go out and be curious. Like, the whole mama mentality thing, the way Kobe defined it was a constant quest to be, you know, to like, it was like the constant quest to figure out how to become the best version of yourself, to be better every day. It's just like a constant curiosity. And that stands out to me. This sucks, man. This is really painful. It hurts a lot. I don't think I'll ever fully recover from this.
No, I don't think so. There's so many factors at play that I think make this a truly unique, tragic situation. The fact that he was doing what he should be doing, being a great father, the fact that that it was such a horrific crash.
Yeah,
if he had died of natural causes, it would still be shocking, but I think we'd all feel a little differently, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, yeah. It just feels like just taken too soon. Like, this just wasn't. And then the part that really hasn't been discussed, and we don't really need to get into this, but it was like, this could have been avoided, could have and should have been avoided. Such a freak, tragic thing. Like, obviously we can't go back in time and redo it, but you hate that they risked it in that kind of weather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Like you said, there's not really any point in trying to, you know, we don't really know for certain all of the details. Right. I mean, maybe there's probably going to be more stuff that's brought to light over time, but the fact that Gigi was there too,
devastating. And
she passed away.
She was going to be good.
And it was, yeah, it wasn't. And it's in no way am I saying, you know, it would have been better if it was one of his other daughters. That's not in any way what anyone feels. No. But with that being said, it's like the way that he talked about her and her drive, like, you know, the way he would talk about people saying, you know, oh man, you got to have a boy. You got to have someone to carry on your legacy. I'm sure you've seen the clip. I think it was with Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. And, you know, then he's like, and then, you know, his daughter Gigi's like, hello, I'm right here. I got this. Like, you know, just her drive. And, you know, Kobe would talk about how, you know, she's better than I was when I was that age. You know, she's going to be amazing. He would tell Candace Parker that his daughter is going to, you know, break all her records. And, you know, like, did you see the interview? It wasn't an interview, but it was that ESPN analyst that talked about how when she was pregnant and Kobe was talking to her, and, you know, she was like, man, I don't, like, can you imagine having four girls? And, you know, Kobe was like, I'd have five more girls if I could. He's like, I love it. He's like, I'm a girl dad. Girls are the best. And I don't know, like, he did a lot for the WNBA as well. Yep. And kind of putting them, not really, I don't want to say putting them on a map, because that discredits what the players do, but, you know, it's really sad that
no other superstar player that had finished playing in the NBA really gave the WNBA that much attention.
No, so not at all.
Naturally, I think that was going to have an impact. And like you said, it didn't matter who was in that plane or that helicopter. It was going to be equally as devastating. But she was probably, from the very little that I know, it was probably the most like Kobe and had the potential to be a Kobe Bryant type player in the WNBA. And so that's where it's like, this person was going to do big things on the national stage, and his other kids may still do those things in different areas. But
yeah,
she was the one of the, I mean, the other two are so young. Maybe they do end up being great basketball players. I don't know. You know, that could still happen. But she was the one who, I mean, she had a scholarship offer to UConn That's a big deal. UConn is not just one good women's program. That is the premier women's program. So that speaks a little bit to the talent that Gigi had at such a young age. So, and another thing that made Kobe so great as a parent, I mean, we could go on for hours, but he didn't push any of his kids to do anything. He didn't make Gigi become a basketball player.
She's the one that drug him back to go watch games.
Yeah, because he didn't. She was like,
"I want to go see Trae Young play."
He didn't really. Yeah, like, he didn't. He was pretty clear when he retired. He didn't plan on going back to Staples Center. And
no, he had checked out.
Yep, he had checked out and moved on to the next phase. But she, you know, like you said, brought him back, and it's like, he could have very easily been the helicopter. You're playing basketball. I'm gonna whip you like an animal until you become great. Not Kobe. She had to show that desire. And once she had that mentality, he was on board. But this is what makes this conversation so hard, man. It's just, like I said, I know we're starting to repeat ourselves. And after this comment, let's maybe remember one or two of our favorite moments as fans. But dude was just doing what he should be doing, being a good person. And I think that's what stings a little bit more, because he's not the first and won't be the last celebrity death. But of some of the celebrity deaths that I remember in my lifetime, any death is tragic. But you didn't have that feeling like, gosh, this was one of the great people in society.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't feel that way about some of the other ones where this guy, I'm just like, this dude, man, was just an outstanding guy, had overcome a lot of personal issues, and by all accounts and purposes, he was, you know, overcame those and was an outstanding person. And I think that's been validated in Vanessa Bryant's comments today on Instagram, where, you know, she just spoke so highly of him and of Gigi, and, you know, she didn't have to do that if Kobe hadn't fixed the wrongs from earlier, you know?
For sure. She could have easily walked away with millions of dollars. She was set.
Yep.
She could have taken half his assets and she would have been fine. She'd never have to work a day in her life.
Nope.
But he
put in the work to fix that relationship. And by all accounts, it was. We have no reason to believe it wasn't. And that's an inspiring thing from a marriage perspective, you know?
Yeah.
Mistakes can happen, but are you willing to put in the work like he did to fix that? And anyways, starting to ramble here a little bit, but on the court, is there a particular memory that really sticks out to you?
Man, it's so hard to say. There's so many of them. I think, you know, probably just knowing it was like there was a, I mean, granted, like he didn't hit every, you know, game winning shot attempt that he took. In fact, like he missed a lot.
Yep.
But like what I over, you know, that decade or, you know, whatever, however many, you know, he was in the league for 20 years, but I would say there were a solid, you know, 10 to 12 of those years that I felt. And this is just sports. This is basketball. This is being, you know, a hardcore Laker fan. I felt comfortable. I felt like he's got this. I didn't feel worried. Like there was always the excitement and you know, intense feelings that came along with close games and stuff. But it was like, we have the guy that is willing to take it upon himself to take the big shot and to have the confidence to be able to, you know, come away with a win or at least do the very best that he can to get it there. And so I think game winners, just big clutch moments, you know, there's so many of them. I can't pinpoint one singular thing, but, you know, thinking about shots that he hit against Phoenix, against Miami, against even the Jazz, you know, the string of, you know, 40 point games, When he scored four straight games of 50 points, like just the things that he was able to do made you feel like it was possible to do superhuman things.
Yep.
Like, I remember there was one time Kobe, and I mean, I've been a Kobe fan forever, and this was even before I met you, but I remember my old friend Craig Jarvis, his mom. I don't know why I remember this, but I remember we would go and play basketball in his backyard in the summertime. And I remember, like, we ended up watching a Laker game. It was on, and she was, like, so convinced that somehow the game was rigged because no one could be that good. Like, it's so silly. Like, it's just so ridiculous to think that. But she, like, felt like, she was like, oh no, it's a show because, you know, no, like the human body isn't capable of doing things like that or making that many shots and being that. It was crazy. I was just in my head, I was like, you are ridiculous. But he made it seem like you were able to do so much more than what was thought possible. And I'm sure that a lot of people felt like that about Michael Jordan and stuff, but, you know, Kobe was our Michael Jordan. And yep. it was just inspiring. It was like you were going to be entertained and just blown away by things that he would do.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the long answer to your question. What about you?
For me, one of them, there's many. I could recount many, but one that immediately comes to mind is his playoff game winner against the Suns and how you spoiled what could have been a perfectly great moment in our lives.
That one was Caitlin Newbold's fault. It was my fault for looking at my phone, but she deserves some of that blame.
Because that would have been – I mean, it was still crazy, but we kind of anticipated.
We knew – we didn't know what was going to happen, but we knew something big was going to happen.
And it would have been even better not knowing anything, but – that was, I think, the moment where I don't want to speak for Laker Nation, so I'll just speak for myself. But that was the moment where it was like, this dude is going to take us back to the promised land. Like, this guy is as good as we thought he was when he was with Shaq. And it's only a matter of time before he brings us a ring. Because before that, it was like, Kobe's great, but is he a ball hog? Like, is he a bad teammate? Is he selfish? And then that year and that playoff performance really made me feel like, okay, we are way overachieving with these guys.
Yeah,
and Kobe Bryant is the reason, and we're gonna win. You know, and I think from that moment on, it was like, hey, this is the guy. You know, like before it was like, okay, well, he did it with Shaq. We don't really know. And then that was kind of when, for me, I was like, this dude is unreal. He's an MVP, and we're gonna win rings with him. And I mean, there were other games that stick out too, but that was just an unbelievable moment. I mean, that it was crazy. That was amazing what he did in that game. I still watch that game. I mean, that's one of a dozen games that I've watched multiple times and will for the rest of my life. Just vintage Kobe performances.
Yeah, it's special, man. It really is.
Well,
I'll never forget it. I'll never ever forget this day. The 27th, I guess. Or 26th. Never mind, 26th.
Any final words you want to add before we?
No, I mean, I just, again, I want to tell, you know, you personally how much I'm grateful that Kobe was in, you know, a part of my life so that I was able to meet you. So much of my life had, like, you know, it's crazy because, like, I wouldn't have met you had I not had that Kobe fandom. But my life could have gone in such a very different direction, whether for worse or for you just never know.
Yeah.
If I, you know, if you and I didn't spend, because, I mean, for a lot of you, you know, listening, know, you know, Matt and I have been basically best friends for almost 20 years now. Like, it's kind of crazy, but, you know, things could have been so different. These choices that I made in my life or didn't make, or, you know, people that I chose to spend my time with, or,
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing how impactful that is. And so, you know, I love you, man. And I probably don't say that enough. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way about, you know, people they care about. You know, sometimes it feels awkward and weird to say something like that to, you know, a friend or even a family member. But I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to say that to people. Yeah. I mean, people that are listening, like, you know, hug people extra tight, let them know how much you care about them, because you just never know. You don't know when something like that's going to happen, and live your life so that you don't, like, regret having not said something or done something for somebody.
Yeah. Well said, man. I love you too. And you're right. I mean, I'd like to think we'd be friends without Kobe, but the reality is probably not.
But you just never know. Like, yep. It's hard to say. Maybe our paths would have crossed and it would have happened anyways, but it would have been a very different story.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just, I think the best thing that any of us can do who cared about Kobe or didn't is to truly, you know, live life to the fullest and try and be better each and every day, like I believe he was doing towards the end. So it's, I don't even know how to end this podcast. It's like you said, I mean, I don't know if, things will obviously never be the same, but I don't know if the void will ever be filled. I think for the rest of my life, I'll find myself in certain moments just watching a Kobe video, watching a Kobe interview, and it's just crazy. I don't know. It's still hard to believe.
Yeah. I don't know when actual reality is going to set in, and I don't know if it ever really will, but you know, it's not something that's just going to go away. You know, even if you wanted it to, like the NBA and the way that just the reaction from everyone, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe gets turned into the logo. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they do just some massive thing at the All-Star game for him. Like, I really think that the NBA is going to do something to, like the NBA itself is going to immortalize Kobe Bryant somehow, not just the Lakers.
Let's end there then. So, what would, if you were Adam Silver, what would you like? What would you want to do?
I think that every team should retire the number 24. And I mean, that's just my opinion. Some people may think that's overkill, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. But I would love it if the NBA changed the logo to Kobe. I think that would probably be the best thing and the best and simplest thing that you could do.
Yeah. I don't know if the logo is going to change. I wouldn't be against them doing that, but I wouldn't be mad if they didn't change it either. But I think, for me, I for sure would retire 24-8 and just,
yeah.
I think that's a great way to honor someone is, hey, these are sacred numbers and we're not going to wear them anymore, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's great.
All right, dude, well, I'll let you go. And we got to watch some more Laker games this year. This season's become very meaningful. And so I think it's going to be emotional for all, but I think this is going to propel the Lakers to a championship. I really do. I think that there's strong leadership on this team that wants to deliver for the city of Los Angeles, and I want to be a part of it. So we got to get together and enjoy Laker basketball. I think the way Kobe would want us Laker fans to do, be supportive of this team and keep enjoying NBA hoops. So let's do that.
Let's do that.
All right, dude. Take care. Thanks for chatting. I appreciate your thoughts and kind words. And,
of course.
And yeah.
All right. Well, have a good night, man.
Worst ending to a podcast ever, but nevertheless, go
Lakers. Hey, the meat and potatoes were good. Okay. Right. So there's some good stuff in there. The ending, maybe not that great.
Hey, thank you, man. Take care. Appreciate it.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks to Kyle Reuter for coming on and sharing his thoughts and some memories of Kobe Bryant. that'll wrap up this podcast that was therapeutic for me. It's definitely something I never wanted to do, but I think it's important to talk about these things and remember the good times. So rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, John Altobelli, his wife Carrie Altobelli, their daughter Alyssa, Christina Mauser, Sarah Chester, her daughter Peyton Chester, and pilot Ara Zobayan. Rest in peace, and to Kobe Bryant, thank you for a lifetime's worth of great memories. You'll be missed.